Hello everybody and welcome to the June episode of the Reading Community Team podcast.
I'm Julie Ferry and I'm the Operations Manager for Skills, Information and Support Services.
New job title, Julie, a very long job title. I'm still Clive Wood and I'm still the Engagement Officer, a very short title.
On this up and coming podcast, we've got our guest, Wayne Towney, who's a training and behaviour advisor, and he's going to be coming in to talk about our training for the dogs.
Which is all new now, isn't it? It's all new training process.
I know, very exciting to listen to that. We've got the usual update from the Reading community team, and also we will be mentioning the up and coming events happening in our area.
So you're going to tell us what's going on, what's been happening, Julie, in our team?
Well, we'd like to say a really big welcome to Molly Rowland, who's joined us as a business support coordinator.
Yes, and that's Molly, you'll probably, some if you ever contact the office, I'm sure you'll speak to her on the phone.
We have some exciting news from the Stork. We've got Phil, who's our My Guide service manager. She's on maternity leave and we just heard today that she's had a little girl called Zoe.
Oh, that's lovely.
So very congratulations nice. To Phil
congratulations,
and family.
Definitely.
We'd like to say a really well done to Zanna, who's done a mega swim in aid of guide dogs for us. She actually raised £767 swimming 100 minutes in May.
Wow.
And we've got a lovely picture of her on our Facebook page.
Yes, if you go to the Reading Community Team Facebook team, your page, you'll see the post that we put on of her swimming in her goggles.
I know, she looks fabulous. She looks really proud holding up her certificate.
And so she should be.
I know. So, yeah, well done, Zanna. Excellent. So moving on from that, we're looking out for My Guide volunteers in the Buckinghamshire and Oxfordshire areas. So please do contact the office for more information on that one.
Yeah, we're in real need some more volunteers to help. We've got people waiting, visually impaired people waiting up there who would really value having a volunteer to help them get out and about more.
We are also looking for puppy walkers in the Reading and Wokingham areas. So if you or any friends or family are interested in that, please do contact the office for more information.
And you can also go to the Guide Dogs website where you find lots of information about the taking on the role as a volunteer puppy walker. That's brilliant, Julie. Thank you.
No worries. And then there was just one more thing we were going to mention, Clive. I think you said that you were looking to set up some coffee mornings.
We are. So regular listeners may know that we have various coffee mornings throughout our area on a regular basis, which is usually attended by a variety of people, Julie. It's usually the volunteers, so it could be My Guide volunteers, it could be puppy walkers.
Right.
Also guide dog owners as well, and other people that access guide dog services. They all go along on a regular basis, and we have them across our area. And if you want to find out where they are, just contact the office. But we are now looking at trying to set up a coffee morning on a regular basis in the Oxfordshire area.
Oh, brilliant.
So, hopefully, if there's anybody out there who would be interested to attend those coffee mornings, or you think it's a good idea, contact me at the office, so that's Clive, or you can email me clive.wood@guidedogs.org.uk. Brilliant.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've now got our guest, haven't we?
Our guest speaker, who is Wayne Towney, and he's a training and behaviour advisor. So we'd like to welcome him to tell us more about what he's doing.
Absolutely. I got the opportunity to speak to Wayne last week and have a chat with him about the service.
Without
you, Julie. I am sorry.
I'm so sorry, Wayne, to have missed out on that opportunity.
Wayne split us up.
I know. And you said we were going to do everything
together. I'm sorry. But anyway, I will make sure next time. I think you were out camping somewhere, in your caravan somewhere.
Today. Yeah, I was on holiday.
You were on holiday.
So,
Wayne's going to have the opportunity to speak to Wayne about the new STEP program, which is the new training program we're using with our dogs. I'm with Wayne. Wayne works within the Reading Mobility team. And welcome, Wayne.
Thank you, Clive. Good to be here.
Thank you. And just tell me what your full job title is, because I can never remember now.
My job title is Training Behaviour Advisor.
Right, okay. And that's with the dogs. That's not with the humans, is it? You don't train them, you know, behaviour with the...
Well, the premise of the job, the main part of the job is training staff.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's twofold, basically.
Right.
So, we will obviously talk about the STEP programme, which stands for Standardised Training of Excellence Partnership. So part of that is rolling out the standardised training.
Yeah.
So firstly, obviously, I need to have an understanding of what that programme is with regards to the dog training. And then my actual role is rolling that out to staff here in the Reading Mobility team.
So that's to all the guide dog mobility instructors, but not just them, but the wider team, or...?
Yes, so in essence, it's primarily for the technical staff, the GDMIs and the GDTs. However,
well, just remind us what GDMI and GDT.
Sorry, guide dog mobility instructors.
Yeah.
And guide dog trainers.
Okay.
The actual program and the training of the dog is being rolled out to them. However, organisationally, we are aiming to educate every member of staff, whatever job function, to give them a basic understanding of what this STEP program is and what it entails.
Okay. So many of our listeners will not have heard of STEP, including some of, I'm sure, many of our guide dog owners. Just say again what STEP stands for.
STEP stands for Standardised Training for Excellent Partnerships.
Okay, so give us a sort of layman's version of what that means.
Okay, so historically, I think within the technical training department, GDMIs have always trained dogs, and we have always known what we are aiming for in getting to the dog, in getting the dog to be a guide.
Right.
However, there has been, it's true to say, there's been variation. As an organisation, as big as we are, individuals working in their own way obviously can create some inconsistencies.
Yeah.
So I think it's the correct thing that we are now standardising training, so we're all singing from the same song sheet, as it were.
Yeah.
It also enables, when we're communicating to each other, it creates a standard, and when we're discussing dogs and dogs' behaviour, it just tightens up the understanding.
Okay. So we'll have a uniformed approach to the way that we train all our dogs?
Yes, in terms of methodology.
Okay.
Within that, it doesn't mean we're all going to be little robots doing exactly the same thing.
Good.
I think the key thing is that the methodology and the premise of positive reinforcement training is the main focus.
Okay.
However, so, all dogs are different.
Sure.
And progress at different rates, and the skill of the trainer is using their understanding of the methodology to recognise when to move behaviours forward.
Okay.
Or if you're pushing the dog too much.
Right. So you talked about positive reinforcement training. Just explain to me what that is.
Okay. So positive reinforcement training is a science-based methodology with the emphasis on positive results for the dog, positive consequence for the dogs.
Yeah.
So, and that positive consequence can be food, it can be toys and play, or it can be just vocal, good boy, good girl, or physical interaction.
So reward of some sort.
Absolutely. Okay. It's a reward-based methodology.
Okay.
And the emphasis is on that, basically.
Right.
So the STEP program is made up of 36 individual behaviours.
Okay.
And those behaviours are trained individually with the emphasis on, as you are progressing the dog through those behaviours, we're looking at always the progress the dog is making and rewarding the behaviour we want, as opposed to using some form of punishment to stop behaviour we don't want. The STEP programme encompasses a 17-week dog training period.
Okay.
So
is that going down? Are we going down from
It does. The training time has decreased.
Okay.
However, I do stress that that wasn't the premise of the programme.
Okay.
As a byproduct, training times have come down.
Okay.
So it's basically a 17-week training period where those 36 behaviours are taught.
Okay.
At the end of that 17-week period, in essence, you should have a dog that is then ready to be have a client identified.
Mm-hmm.
Then on top of that 17 weeks, there is an 8-week creating partnerships period. So that 8-week period is the process of identify a client, matching the client with the dog, and then continuing the training with that client in mind. So okay. At the end of that further 8 weeks, you should have a qualified partnership.
Okay. So the puppies will stay with the puppy walkers until they're about 12 to 14 months. Then they go off to our training centre. They used to go to our training centre in Redbridge. And then they come out to the mobility teams.
Yes.
And that's when they would start their training here with us.
Yes.
And that was usually for about 26, 28 weeks.
Yes, so there would generally be like a two-part period. There will be an early training period.
Yeah.
So as you said, the puppy enters training around about 12 to 14 months.
Yeah.
And then they remain at Redbridge for 24 to 26 weeks.
Yeah, that's our training centre, yeah.
Yes, at the early training centre.
Yeah.
And then they would come out to mobility teams,
mm-hmm.
Where the GDMI would take over. And the GDMI then would have a further 10 or 11 weeks training to get that dog ready and to be matched.
Okay, so that was the old method.
Yes.
So now, to talk from the point of coming from our fantastic volunteer puppy walkers, you've had them till they're about 12 to 14 months old. What happens now?
So on the STEP programme, the puppies come straight into, here in Reading, they come straight into the mobility team. And so from entering, the time they enter, they have that 17-week programme.
Okay.
And then a further 8 weeks creating partnerships where the dog will be, a client will be identified, matched and trained. So you would then have your qualified partnership at the end of 25 weeks.
Okay. And so at that point where you've matched the dog with their future guide dog owner.
Yes.
And the training starts with the guide dog owner.
Yes.
What's the process now? How long does that take? And what's involved in that training process for that partnership?
Okay. So the training process now is like a 10-day core skills training period. Residentially.
Okay, so they stay in a hotel? Or
yes, so that will be in a hotel for that 10 days. And as it says, core skills is just the real basics of handling the dog.
Yeah.
After that 10-day core skills period, client will then return home and have a further 3 weeks training from home.
Okay.
So in total, there is a 5-week training period.
And then in most circumstances, at the end of that 5 weeks, that partnership would be signed off. They would qualify as their partnership.
That's correct.
Fantastic.
Also, there's the other difference there is that once the guide dog owner has done the 10-day core skills, when they then return home, once they start covering routes with the GDMI, once they've covered a route and that route has been deemed to be safe, if they've done that a couple of times, they are then able to work that route independently. So they're not waiting for qualification before they can actually work their dog.
Because beforehand, with the old method,
yes,
we as a guide dog owner, I had to wait until I'd finished and been qualified.
Yes.
Before I could go off by myself.
Yeah.
Well, that's a
correct.
Very positive.
It is.
Forward, isn't it?
So what it enables, that 3-week period at home, it enables some freedom and it enables the partnership to start working independently, but the GDMI is still within the picture and supporting and helping.
Being given the opportunity to do routes by themselves sooner, it must be a big boost of confidence, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think certainly from my experience working the old system, once somebody had previously qualified, when I went back and they had had some experience working on their own, you can see quite dramatic differences and increase in confidence at that point. So the way that we're doing it now, by enabling the client to work independently between visits from the GDMI, it does, that level of confidence can increase quite quickly.
Fantastic. Can we just a little bit more about the training, Wayne?
Yes.
We talk about positive reinforcement, and how does that work? Because you were saying about rewards.
Yes.
Rewarding good behaviour.
Yes.
How is it different? You explained to me how it's different when I take my dog out. If I have a dog that's been trained under this programme,
yes,
what will be different for me? Will there be any difference at all?
There will be some difference in the actual way that you work your dog. That would remain the same. But in terms of how the dog has been trained and how the behaviours have been developed and reinforced, we have used food sort of extensively through the training period. Okay. And so when a guide owner goes through training now, that could be a difference whereby we're asking the guide owner to wear a treat pouch and take food out on every walk, okay, certainly through the training period.
Right.
And reward the dog at the appropriate point.
Okay.
And within that, there's a lot more. It's not just a case of ad hoc throwing a bit of kibble to the dog. So the whole training process, for example, one of the behaviours that we teach within the STEP program is something called food manners. Clearly, when we're using a lot of food for training, we want the dog to behave well around food. We don't want the dog lunging for food. We don't want the dog snatching for food. So one of those 36 behaviours is actually training the dog around food and training the client how to deliver the food correctly and the importance of timing of delivering the food.
Okay, because I went out with you with one of your dogs and I had the opportunity to trial the new process, which I found absolutely fascinating. And actually, because I must say that I actually was quite curious about the reward element, giving the dog food,
yes,
and what difference that was going to be in terms of doing a route and how much time that was going to take. But actually, it's surprising how quickly you just get in the habit of doing it.
Yes.
It just becomes a natural thing, really. But it's funny how you have to do it in a certain way. You have to position the food across the other side of you and take it around down the back of the dog's head. And so that was all very, very fascinating. And because it's something very new for us as guide dog owners.
Yes.
You know, we're going from something where we were told never to give the dogs rewards or treats, really, in most circumstances, to something now that's very, very different.
Yes.
Do you think that's going to be quite challenging for some guide dog owners?
I don't think so. My experience, I'm just coming to the end of a training cycle with a client that I've taken through the STEP program and training, and he is a very experienced guide dog owner. He's had 5 dogs previously, taking him through, I guess like anything, there is a new skill. Mm, it's a new skill.
Yeah.
But if you are shown how to do it correctly, it's something that you can very quickly learn and are able to do.
Absolutely.
And I think more importantly, when you see the result of what you're doing, that is the thing that gives you the understanding of how well it's working. And certainly the guide owner that I'm working with, one of his comments, certainly through the 10-day core skills period, was that he said that he felt that he could tell how thoroughly the dog had been trained.
Yes.
And I guess if you look at when food is delivered, so when a guide owner is out working on their routes going from A to B, the primary reinforcement points, and by reinforcement point I mean the point where food is delivered to the dog,
right,
to strengthen that behaviour.
Right.
They predominantly would be on a down curb,
yes,
on an up curb, or locating specific objectives.
Like a crossing point or...
yes, exactly that. Whether it's crossing, steps, doors, specific location in a shop, that sort of thing. So those are key reinforcement points. So if you think from a dog point of view, where food is a very powerful thing, it's a primary reinforcer for the dog.
I think for many dogs, food is a very powerful thing anyway, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. And really, that is one of the key premises of the science-based approach. Mm. You know, it is proven, you know, the dog likes food. So why not give it the food when it's doing the behaviour that you absolutely want it to do?
Absolutely. And it isn't just food, is it, in terms of the, you know, reinforcing good behaviour? It's about other things as well, isn't it? About voice and...
Entirely. And I think maybe that's one of the... because the emphasis is on food and the delivery of food and using a lot of food, you, as I mentioned earlier, you still have your general relationship with the dog, the interaction with your dog when it's not working, the amount of play that you have with your dog, and also the way you talk to your dog, the way that you give the praise, the way that you give the physical praise, all of those things, they're all reinforcers. They're all reinforcers. And I think what it does also from the client perspective, it gives them a greater understanding of the process of how the dog has been trained.
Okay.
Which is a bit more empowering for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we've talked about the process now, and you know, we're not going to be disciplining our dogs anymore. Is that what you're saying? If a dog does something wrong, if a dog, for example, has a sniff when it's working, what do we do in those situations now? Or it's distracted by something.
Yes.
It's important to know, listeners, that guide dogs, although they are fantastic, they do have their moments.
Completely. At the end of the day, they are dogs.
Yes, absolutely.
With all innate dog instincts.
Yeah.
Now, clearly, we do appreciate that there are times where, you know, the dog may be distracted. But it's the way in which you handle the dog at that point. You can use the lead, and just sometimes just using the dog's name, or just using the lead, or just using the lead in a, not in a corrective manner, but just as in if you school the lead to the right, or you just apply a little bit of pressure as a bit of a signal to the dog. Those things are all relevant within the training. What you do have though is when the dog is used to having reinforcement at curbs, then those points within a route, the dog is keen to get to the next reinforcement point.
Right.
So you may have a section where the dog may be sniffing, which you may need to either use the dog's name as a distraction, or use the lead. But then as you continue on, you know you're coming to a reinforcement point where the dog will be getting food. So that just helps generally sort of
focus the dog.
Completely.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Wayne. Another thing, you're quite new to dogs, aren't you? How long have you been at Guide Dogs?
My 30th year this
30,
year.
30 years 30th in years. Guide Dogs. That's amazing. And if I remember rightly, you telling me that my first dog was one of the first dogs you trained.
Yes, it was Clive.
Goodness me, I remember when we met, you actually remembered my first dog's name, which I must admit, I had trouble remembering as well. So congratulations, well done, 30 years.
Thank you very much.
And I'm sure you'll be here for at least another 20.
Hopefully.
So Wayne Townie, thank you very much for spending some time with us. And that was really interesting, thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Great, that was really interesting, wasn't it? It's nice to know, find out a little bit more about our new training program for the dogs, and what impact that's going to have on guide dog owners, if any at all, really. So that's brilliant.
Okay, now we'd just like to let everybody know about some up and coming events that are happening with the Reading community team. On Saturday the 22nd and Sunday the 23rd of July, we have the Burfield Box Cart Bash.
Excellent.
Have you?
I don't. I think they basically, people who participate, they make their own like go kart type things, isn't it? And I think you've got to be quite good at making sure it's something that's going to stay together as you go along bumpy roads. And but they did the same event last year, and they start off. You can go to. We have an information stand and different activities at our head office, Hillfields, which is in Burfield Common. And we host some of the activities, and then the races are carried out around the street, around the roads and streets in the Burfield Common area. So if you're around and it's you want to go along, I think it's £3 to get in. So
excellent. We've got a website here, which is www.boxcart.org.uk, and that's boxcart spelled B-O-X-K-A-R-T.
Excellent. Are you going to take part? Julie, it's not something.
Unfortunately, I'm unable to go that weekend.
And I don't think they'd let me take part.
Well.
Anyway.
Saturday the 13th of July, we've got an open day at Hillfields, which is going to be from 12 till 3 o'clock. That's our guide dog head offices in Burfield Common. We've got lots of events and activities going on there. So, again, it would be really fabulous to see as many people as possible.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think there's going to be lots of things dog-related, but there's also going to be things like sighted guiding and blindfold challenges and all sorts of things. So, and technology. I think there's a little bit about technology. So, yeah, I think it'd be a really good afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. On Friday the 26th of July, the Children and Young People's team are running a cooking event for secondary school children, and that's going to be held at High Down School. If any children of a secondary school age would like to come along, please do contact us here at the Reading Community Team.
And that High Down School is in, what is that?
Reading.
Reading, okay.
So that would be great as to have as many people as we can come along to that. On Monday the 29th of July, we have a family recreation event that's going to be held at Tomley, which is in Worming Hall, Buckinghamshire. It's the second year that we've run a family event there. It was really well attended.
I remember, yes, it was
last year, and we got excellent feedback.
Good.
So again, if anybody would be interested in coming that doesn't already know about that, please do get in contact with us here.
And we'll have more contact information at the end of the at the end of the show.
And lastly, on Friday the 2nd of August, again, the Children and Young People's team are running an experience day. And that is for young people interested in future guide dog ownership.
Oh, okay.
So again, if anybody's interested, please do get in contact.
And we do that here at our offices, don't we?
Well, yeah, we actually hire, because of the way we're using our offices now with more dog training, we're actually hiring a church hall.
Okay, nearby. Okay.
So not very far away from
excellent.
Here.
Oh, brilliant. That's really good. So lots of children, young people activities coming up.
Yep, especially over the summer.
Yeah, definitely. And for our next podcast, which will be in August, we are going to be talking to people from the, or members of the team, from, well, Julie probably, because it's we're going to talk about children and young people and the services we provide to children and young people through Guide Dogs. So you'll, I'm sure you'll be giving inputs.
Myself and team will be delighted
excellent.
To support.
Will you be bringing toys and things along? Because that would be quite good. That would be quite good. I'd enjoy that.
Put some thought into it.
Oh, excellent. Well, that'd be good. And I think, but no, in all seriousness, though, I think there's a lot of people who don't know about many of the children and young people services we provide. And I think it's if we can promote it as much as possible, because it's a great service, not just for the children themselves, but for their peers, but also for parents as well.
Yeah, perfect.
That'd be really good. Excellent. And of course, we'll be updating you on news of events and also what's been happening within the team as well. So we look forward to speaking to you in August. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and please promote it to other people, share it around, and we'll speak to you again in August.
As previously mentioned, we're going to now give you our contact details. You can follow us on Twitter at Reading Guide Dogs, and also on Facebook at Reading Guide Dogs. We do have an email address that you can use as well, which is reading@guidedogs.org.uk. Our telephone number is 0345 143 0224. And we look forward to hearing from you.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Yes, we'd love to hear from people. Give us some feedback or any suggestions for future podcasts. So we'll speak to you again in August. So goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.